Welcome back to the program. Listen, if you adopted a dog or cat from a shelter instead of buying one from a breeder, would you consider yourself an animal activist? Well, I think a lot about issues like this, and my answer would be yes. Here's what I recently said about expanding the way we care about all animals.
How does one interest and motivate the typical American pet lover to start thinking about all the other animal welfare issues? There are so many folks who love their dogs and cats as much as they would love a human child, yet are so disconnected from all the other animals. They're not particularly concerned with the horrors of factory farming. They're not aware of the cruelty, or do not believe there's cruelty, in the performing animal enterprises like circuses and marine parks and rodeos. They hunt for sport, accompanied by a dog they protect and would never harm. They love their little frou-frou dog, and at the same time, they have no problems buying and wearing a fur mink coat. How do you get your typical dog or cat lover to expand their compassion footprint? Now, that phrase was coined by author Mark Beckoff in his wonderful book, The Animal Manifesto, 6 Reasons for Expanding Our Compassion Footprint. Mark writes, when it comes to protecting animals, we must think of expanding our compassion footprint and then do something to make this happen. We lessen our negative impact on animals when we increase our compassion for them and strive to make the planet a peaceful, sustaining place for all beings. So how do you get, let's say, a dog person who's just minding their own business, loves their dog, sleeps with their dog, lets their dog up on the couch, you know what I mean, to even consider that maybe eating steak or a hamburger or choosing a lobster from a tank to get boiled alive or teaching your child that it's family fun for elephants and circuses to do tricks and perform for us, and those behaviors are a little contradictory. Dr. Melanie Joy and I talked about all the societal structures and psychological defenses there are which allow us to happily go on eating animals. Her exceptional book is called Why We Love Dogs, Eat Pigs, and Wear Cows, and I encourage you to take a look at that. Rutgers Law professor Gary Francione, who is a strong proponent of veganism as an essential part of the animal rights movement, noted something simple but powerful about the adoption of animals and what it means. He writes, adopt a homeless animal. Go to a shelter and get someone who needs you. Anyone. A dog, cat, mouse, ferret, fish. Adoption is a crucial part of animal rights advocacy. Okay, to repeat, adoption is a crucial part of animal rights advocacy. So listen, if you've taken the step of going to a shelter and adopting a dog or a cat or a rabbit or whatever, instead of buying one from a breeder or from a pet store or the internet, then what you've done is nothing else but an act of animal advocacy. Even if you did not analyze your reasons for adopting too deeply, you went to the shelter or rescue group and adopted and saved a life. In contrast to buying an animal bred for the purpose of selling it to you, you've saved a life. You told the animal breeding industry you would not support them. You taught your friends and family about compassion. Francione is right. It's an act of animal advocacy. But would pet adopters call themselves animal advocates or an animal rights activist? Well, they could rightly start, because this is how animal advocates think. They think what is best for the animals, and connected with that is what is best for our society and what is best for the environment and our health. It all sort of runs together. And so in adopting a pet, you are behaving like an animal advocate. The difference being, these behaviors and thoughts are only a small part of your life. To become a full-fledged animal activist, all you need to do is expand that kind of thinking and behavior. I mean, you already know how to do it. You just do more of it. That's all. Think about that for a minute, okay? I'm telling you adopters that you are already animal rights activists, and you have a lot in common with the demonstrators and the vegetarians and with those who don't wear fur or leather and with those who oppose hunting and the use of animals for entertainment. You have a lot in common with these people. You just need to expand your compassion footprint, as Beckoff writes. Let your defense mechanisms down a bit. Think about the poor orcas confined in their small tanks at marine parks. Think about the nasty meat industry and the lives of farmed animals. It won't hurt you to think about it. allow the goodness of the act that you have done by saving a dog or a cat's life permeate into other aspects of their life. So if you're listening and you have adopted a pet in the past but really have not done more on behalf of animals, like becoming vegetarian and then vegan, like going out and protesting a rodeo or a circus, like buying more animal-friendly products versus patronizing those companies that continue to torture and test their products on animals, then I want to challenge you a little bit here to think about maybe doing these things. Take a couple steps. Acknowledge what you've done already. You've done a great thing. You've saved an animal. You're acting just like an animal advocate. You are an animal activist, a nascent animal activist perhaps, but I'm challenging you to continue building on the style of thought and action. Volunteer at a shelter. Educate yourself by reading a good book on animal rights. Skip meat for a day or join a vegetarian or vegan group and meet some of the nicest people around. Or make a donation to a good nonprofit animal welfare organization. Now, if you're a full-fledged animal advocate and you're out there protesting and you're eating vegan, you don't wear animal products, and you appreciate and know the horrors that animals in our modern world face at our hands, then what you can do is just take this piece of information, and when you encounter your friends and acquaintances who have adopted a pet, you frame it for them in such a fashion that the goodness of adopting is connected to the rest of animal welfare. Say something like, you know, that's so great that you adopted your dog or your cat and saved his life. And you know what? You're an animal advocate because you've taken an action on behalf of animals. You and I have got something serious in common. And I know you think I'm a crazy vegan rodeo protesting animal nut, but listen, you have a lot more in common with me than you might realize because we are acting similarly. And why don't you read this article about where your meat comes from or how they treat elephants in circuses or become a compassionate shopper? And here's a list of companies that continue to do animal product testing. So maybe the next time you're at the grocery store, you'll reach for this animal-friendly brand of household cleaner or laundry detergent versus patronizing this company, which continues to test their products on animals. So perhaps that's a way to frame a discussion with your friends who have adopted pets but have not done much more in acting compassionately towards other animals. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.